You're listening to UR Radio at Western North Carolina Community Media Center. And our show this evening is Conscious Co-Creating, Tools to Empower You. We're here every Thursday evening from 8 to 9 Eastern, and I really hope you join us then. For the next hour, we're going to be discussing the last two chapters of Eckhart Tolle's book, A New Earth, Awakening to Your Life's Purpose. We've gone through the whole book and had a really good time, and these last two chapters are probably the most exciting ones, and so I'm really happy to be here doing this evening. My name is Louisa Dyer, and I am a holistic counselor and a metaphysical author, and if you want to find out more about who I am and what I do, or where I'm coming from when I'm doing this show, please visit my websites, either louisadyer.com or louisadyer.net. Louisa is spelled L-O-U-I-S-A-D-Y-E-R, Louisa Dyer. And during the show, you feel free to submit any questions or comments or suggestions through the Facebook page for this radio show. It's Conscious Co-Creating Online Radio. And if you just sign into Facebook, you can find that show easily enough. And please respond during or after the show. Often there's stuff going on afterwards as well. And just so you know, my intention with the show is to have fun while sharing all the numerous tools that are available that will help us thrive instead of just survive. My purpose is to not only have a good time, but to inspire myself, to inspire anyone who's listening, and to really help us open up to the consciousness that we are. Because that's really, and that's the focus of the last two chapters of Tolle's book as well, is learning how to thrive instead of just survive. So if you're interested in personal growth or spiritual evolution, or if you just want a life that's filled with more joy and peace, there are so many tools that are available. We live in a very amazing, wonderful time for that. And it only awaits your choice to pick a tool that really works for you and to run with that. Hopefully what we discuss tonight will inspire you to actually begin living the life that you've longed for, even more than you already have been. And over the last couple of months, we've talked about two of my favorite authors, David Hawkins and Byron Katie. They're enlightened beings. They're incredible teachers. And through them, we've remembered that all truth is knowable, and that how we ask questions makes a very big difference in the accuracy of answers that we get. And we've also learned that most, if not all, of the stressful thoughts that we think, the stressful situations that we're in, most of the thoughts that propel those situations aren't even true. And that when we become aware enough to notice our thoughts, or even better, aware enough to question our thoughts, then those thoughts begin to let us go. And we begin to wake up more and more. And so both of those people, David Hawkins and Byron Katie, have websites that they're wonderful. You can find out so much information on their website, so I encourage you to check that out as well. We actually hear from every spiritual teacher throughout time that all of our suffering is optional, and yet so much of humanity continues to suffer much of the time. All of these authors, Hawkins, Katie, and Tolle, that we're going to be talking about tonight, they all give very different ways to stop suffering right now. They're very different methods, yet they all lead to a very similar place, and that place is a state, a consciousness inside of more peace, more joy. We're very fortunate, I think, to be alive right now, because all this information is available, and it wasn't before. For the masses of humanity, very few people throughout the history of humanity have had access to the information that almost everybody has access to now. And so the great thing about it is that if one of these ways doesn't suit you, then just try another one until you find a method, a way, something that actually resonates with you and who you are and where you are that really helps you to grow. And so tonight we're going to be continuing our talk about Eckhart Tolle's book, A New Earth, which offers yet another perspective on where suffering comes from and how to be free of it. And all three of these authors, Hawkins, Katie, and Tolle, are clearly enlightened beings. And just reading what they've written actually helps us wake up to who we really are. It actually raises our level of consciousness just to read what they have written. And a lot of people are more familiar with Eckhart Tolle than they are with the other two authors, because Oprah did a show 2 years ago, maybe, where she interviewed Tolle. She did like a 10-week online class that many thousands of people participated in. And those are still available on her website if you ever want to watch those videos. They're really quite amazing, and you can get a lot out of it just by looking at Tolle as he's talking, because you can actually see the presence that is awake and aware and alive in him. And what he basically talks about in A New Earth is what the pain body is, what the ego is, and how to be free of those and how to actually wake up. Because awakening to your life's purpose, he's very clear that your life's purpose is to wake up, to bring consciousness into form. And so what the book does is it talks about the pain body, and what the pain body basically is all the unexpressed emotions that we've experienced in our life from, you know, in the womb, in childhood, all through our lives. And the pain body likes to suffer, unfortunately. And so it finds situations that allow it to do that. It also likes company. So it's good at finding things to trigger it and finding people to suffer with it. Hence the saying, you know, misery loves company. That's the pain body. And so what he's really doing in this book is he's teaching you how to be aware of what the pain body is and how to get present with it. Because when you actually get present with the pain body, meaning that you simply notice it, you're aware of it, instead of falling into it, instead of identifying with it, instead of thinking that emotion is you, you notice that that emotion is in you, and you notice it, you watch it, you be present with it. And what happens is this amazing thing, is presence, that divine life power within you. Presence actually transmutes the pain body into more presence. And so literally just being present with the pain body raises the level of peace that's inside of you, decreases your level of stress, and allows you to have less suffering, less pain body. The other thing that he talks about so much in this book is what ego is and how to transcend the ego. And we have to be sure that we never go to war with the ego, because that's just ego going to war with itself. The thing to do with ego is the same thing you do with the pain body. You just notice it. And the best way to do that is to become aware of your thoughts. Instead of being totally identified with your thoughts, instead of thinking that those thoughts are you, becoming aware enough to notice your thoughts. And when you do that, you notice that you are not your thoughts. Your thoughts are happening, and you can watch them. You can be aware of them. And so what the ego really is being identified with those thoughts, actually being identified or attached to any form of which thoughts are the primary thing that happens with the ego. And so when we get present with the ego, what happens is we begin to recognize that what we are is the consciousness behind or beyond those thoughts. Consciousness is that formless, limitless essence that is life. It's awareness. And so what we're looking at today is the last two chapters of this book, A New Earth. And the name of those chapters are Your Inner Purpose and A New Earth. And so what's really happening is he's talking about, like, the first part of the book was really looking at your inner awareness and your inner purpose. I mean, your outer purpose. That's what this chapter is doing, is how to bring that inner purpose that we've spent the whole book sort of looking at and becoming aware of into alignment with your outer purpose. And it's that alignment of the inner purpose and the outer purpose that is creating what he's calling a new earth, meaning a new awareness, a new consciousness to where there is less suffering in humanity. There is a new human being born. And I love the way that he actually ends this chapter. What he says, the last sentence in this book is, a new species is arising on the planet. It is arising now, and you are it. Isn't that wonderful? I think that is so exciting. A new species is arising, and you are it. So it's up to each of us, and we can only do it now, to become aware of what is our inner state of consciousness and be responsible for it. And so for me, these last two chapters are really very exciting and inspiring and quite hopeful. And basically the inner purpose, that's your true purpose. And there's just no substitute in this world, in this life, for finding your true purpose. Your true purpose is not what you do on the outer level. It's not what you do at all, but it's what you are. It's your state of consciousness, how you actually experience yourself internally. Are you in a state of peace? Are you in a state of joy? Are you in a state of acceptance? Or are you in a state of misery or suffering or complaining or angst? So this inner purpose and being aware of it is the foundation for fulfilling the outer purpose in life. And it's also the basis for any true success. And so that's what the last two chapters in this book are really about, is aligning that inner and outer purpose. Because without alignment of those, then any achievement, anything that we actually create or do in the outer world, we can still do it. We can still achieve stuff and do stuff. But it comes about through a lot of effort or even struggle, or a determination and hard work, or being, you know, tricky and cunning. There's not a lot of joy in it. And if the inner purpose and the outer purpose are not aligned, then in the end, what we actually create, it's actually going to create more suffering. So what we really want to do is look at that. And what Toll is very clear about is that our inner purpose is to awaken, and that that's actually the inner purpose for every human. And our outer purpose changes, you know, throughout a life, sometimes throughout a day. And the outer purpose is different for everyone. You know, it takes all kinds to make a world, and different strokes for different folks. We have lots of sayings that express that the outer purpose is always changing, and it can be anything. But the inner purpose for everyone is to awaken. And what that means is, awakening is actually a shift in consciousness in which thinking and awareness are distinct. They're no longer the same thing. So instead of being lost in thinking, we recognize ourselves as the awareness behind the thinking. And the awareness is the conscious connection with universal intelligence. And another word for that universal intelligence is presence. Presence with a capital P. Some people call it God. Some people call it universal energy. It doesn't matter what you call it. But awareness is having a conscious connection with that larger energy, rather than being identified with your thoughts or your feelings. And so to become conscious, to awaken, is to be aware that you are not your thoughts, and that you can be aware of your thoughts, but you do not need to be identified with them. That's really the essence of it. And awakening is, it's usually a process. You know, there are very rare individuals in our world that awaken suddenly, and typically we hear about those. I mean, that's what happened to Eckhart Tolle, that's what happened to Byron Katie, that's what happened to David Hawkins. We typically hear about those, but for most people, awakening is a process. It happens gradually, and the first initiation of awakening. It's actually an act of grace. There's nothing that we can do about that. We can't make it happen. We can't prepare for it. We don't have to become worthy first. It is an act of grace. But once that awakening is initiated, it can't be reversed. It can be delayed by the ego, trust me on that, but it can't be reversed. And with that grace of awakening comes responsibility. And that responsibility is simply the commitment, the intention to open to consciousness, to the emerging consciousness and bringing its light into this world. And that actually becomes the primary purpose of your life, is allowing yourself to become more and more open to consciousness, to presence. And as we do that, it changes everything. It's like, I love what David Hawkins says, in that there's not anything we have to do to become enlightened. It's like there's not anything we have to get or acquire. The only thing there is to do is remove the obstacles to enlightenment, because enlightenment is always happening. It's our destiny, if you will. It is what is. That consciousness never ceases. And so the only reason we're not aligned with it is because there are things that are in our way. There's the pain body and the ego, for example. There's all the places in us where we haven't forgiven ourselves. There's the unconscious guilt or shame, or there's lots of places inside of us that are contracted. And usually it's guilt, shame, or fear, or desire, wantingness, that also keeps us contracted. And so whatever it is that we can do to allow those obstacles to be brought into the light and allow the light to clear them out, that's really all there is to do ever in order to grow and become enlightened. Actually, you can't become enlightened. You can only be enlightened, because become, you know, that's like, it'll happen in the future. It never happens in the future. It happens in the now. And so that's really what these last two chapters are about, is about awakening to that emerging consciousness, to that divine energy that is what enlivens the whole universe, and bringing that consciousness into this world. And that becomes our primary purpose. And the joy and the beauty of that is that's also what makes us feel alive. It gives meaning to our lives, and it gives us peace and joy. And we know when our outer actions are not aligned with that inner purpose of awakening, because that's when we become anxious or stressed. And so if we're anxious or stressed, what we know is that we're not present, that ego is in charge. And so the solution is really simple. The solution to aligning outer purpose with inner purpose again is to just get present right here and right now. And all that means is just to be aware in the moment, to be accepting of who and what and where you are in the moment. And one of the ways we can do that is just to remember that our state of consciousness is what really matters. Our state of consciousness, how we actually are experiencing ourselves, our life. Not what we do, but who we are. And when we remember that, then it's easy to come back into alignment with whatever is necessary to reestablish that sense of awareness within us, to be present and okay inside of ourselves. And the way we do that is we just focus on what's right in front of us. We focus on exactly what we're doing right now. It's like being fully present with whatever it is. If you're reading a book, you're fully present with the reading. If you're turning the page, you're fully present with turning the page, instead of being focused on what you're going to do once the page turns. If you're washing the dishes, you're fully focused on what you're actually doing rather than being focused on having the dishes done. If you're walking across the floor to get something, focus on walking across the floor rather than being focused on what you're going to do once you get across the floor. That's really what it means to be present in the moment, is you're focused on exactly what you are being and doing in this moment. And life is made up of all those little moments. And the more we're present in each and every moment, the more life takes care of itself. And so what we're doing is we're letting go of what might or might not be in some illusion we have about the future, because the future doesn't really exist. What exists is right here, right now. And I think for a lot of us, it's really when we think about purpose, so many of us want to do something great. You know, we want to really make a difference. And that's wonderful. But we get lost in thinking of it in the future. And we don't remember that greatness is actually being present. That's what really gives us what we want. Toll actually has a quote in this book where he says, "Greatness is a mental abstraction and a favorite fantasy of the ego." And so really, success is made up of really being present with that power of consciousness that's inside of us. And when we're not, we feel stressed out. And that anxiety that we feel actually cuts us off from that power. Because the truth is, we are not separate from the power that runs the universe. But it's available to us only in the present moment. So every spiritual teacher that is talks about getting present, being present right here, right now, instead of being focused on the future or lost in the past. And so our primary purpose is to enable consciousness to flow into everything we do. And we do that by being present in whatever it is we are doing. The secondary purpose is whatever we hope to accomplish. We cannot actually become successful, Tolle says. He says we can only be successful. And we do that by having a successful present moment. And that our entire life journey ultimately consists of this step that's being taken in this moment. Because what the future actually holds, if there is such a thing as a future, but what your next moment and the next 10 moments and what the rest of our lives really hold for us, the way they're going to come about, the way they're going to express themselves, how we're going to feel and what we're going to be doing and how we're going to be in our world, it all depends on our state of consciousness right now. And so nothing is more important than your state of consciousness right now. That's where I'm going to take a little musical break. And I want you to just really think about that and be aware. Go inside yourself and notice, what is your state of consciousness right now? And just whatever it is, let go any judgment about it. Let go any analysis of it. And just be present with whatever is going on inside of you. Accept it. And be aware of it. It isn't you. It's just what's inside of you. Any feelings, any thoughts. And if you're able to just be present, meaning you're not focusing on thoughts or feelings, that's wonderful. Enjoy that. Because that's peace. That's an inner joy, the joy of being. And so we're going to listen to a song called Into the Light by Billy McLaughlin. And while we're doing that, I just want you to focus inward and allow yourself to be present with yourself. Enjoy. Thank you. And welcome back to Conscious Co-Creating, Tools to Empower You. My name is Louisa Dyer, and we are at UR Radio at Western North Carolina Community Media Center. And we're talking about Eckhart Tolle's book, A New Earth. We're actually looking at the last two chapters of this book, where we're discussing inner purpose and bringing that into alignment with outer purpose, and how outer purpose is actually determined by how conscious and aware we are of what our inner purpose really is. And as we do this, as we bring that inner and outer purpose into alignment, then what we're doing is we're creating a new earth. And of course, that's actually the title of the book. And so I'm really glad that you're rejoining us. And what the last chapter in this book actually does, and it's quite wonderful and exciting. And I actually want to repeat something I said earlier, which is the last line of this book is, a new species is arising on the planet. It is arising now, and you are it. I just love that. And so basically what this last chapter does is it looks at the expansion and the contraction that happens in all of life, in all of nature. It's actually happening in the whole universe. This idea of, you know, growing, leaping forward, outgoing energies, and then the coming home of the energies. So it's sort of the outgoing energies and then the incoming energies. And this expansion and contraction of the whole universe can be seen everywhere, really, if you look. I mean, just look at the human heart, you know, look at the breath, the in and the out, the contraction, the expansion. Look at waking and sleeping. Look at birth and death. Look at the body being born and growing up and then starting to shrink and, you know, get old and dying. And so that's really what this last chapter is looking at. And it used to be that primarily spiritual awareness came to us as humans, mostly in that going home or dying phase of life, or after some great tragedy or some great loss, because the worldly things would begin to dissipate and they would be less important. And so we would become aware of more amazing, wonderful, greater things than worldly things. And if you've ever worked with people who were dying, a lot of times they have that awareness literally on their deathbed that they've spent their life focused on what wasn't important. And what really was important was connection and love. And so what's happening in our world now is that we're not having to wait until we're dying. We're not having to wait for some tragedy or great loss or for our world to somehow shrink or collapse, you know, through some tragedy or old age, to begin to awaken to inner purpose. You know, we're beginning to allow that awareness to increase and to figure out how to not let the ego run our lives anymore. And so we're becoming more conscious. And as this consciousness emerges, more and more people no longer need to be, you know, hit over the head by the proverbial 2x4. You know, we no longer have to be shaken up to have an awakening. We're actually embracing it voluntarily while we're still in this outward cycle of growth and expansion. And so now, I mean, that's actually what's happening in our world. This spiritual dimension is now coming into our world through outward movement, through the growth and expansion. It comes out in our thought and our speech and our action. It used to not be that way, and that's why everything is expanding and moving so fast. Tolle actually says that it's not we who create, but universal intelligence that creates through us. And so what's happening in our world right now, and this is very evident, like through Oprah Winfrey, for example. I think she's one of the most amazing people on the planet because she's done more to raise the consciousness of the masses than almost any single person has, because she started in the 90s doing these shows on spiritual awareness and how it's not necessarily religion. And she got a whole lot of hate mail from a whole lot of very religious people because she was framing waking up and spiritual awareness not in terms of religion, but in terms of becoming more conscious with that power that's in the universe and acknowledging that it doesn't matter what you call it. And so that power that's in the universe, it is what creates, and it creates through us. And these brains that we have are one of the most magnificent things that consciousness has ever created in order to manifest into the world through. Our brains are not what create consciousness. Consciousness created our brains. But our brains are the most complex, incredible forms through which consciousness can actually become manifest in our world. And so that's really what we're doing, is allowing that consciousness, that spiritual dimension, to come into our lives through what we're doing. That's aligning inner purpose with outer purpose. Or I should say, that's aligning outer purpose with inner purpose. And we know we're doing that when we're present, when we feel good, when we have joy and enthusiasm of what's going on. If we're experiencing stress or struggle, then that's a sign that the ego has returned. Or if we're having negative reactions when we encounter obstacles, when we encounter things that like take us off the path we think we're on, that just means the ego is there or the pain body is there. And the very simple solution to that is to get present, which just means becoming aware. And then what happens is awareness begins to direct us instead of ego directing us. And so the whole purpose of this last chapter is Tolle's really talking about this awakened doing. And that's what he calls the alignment of outer purpose with inner purpose. He calls it awakened doing. And what that really means is that what we do with inner purpose is we're awakening and we're staying awake while we're doing whatever we're doing. And it's that way that consciousness flows through us into the world. We're the conduit for that consciousness. And he has, basically, he talks about three modalities in this chapter of awakened doing. And those are acceptance, enjoyment, and enthusiasm. And those are sort of like three gradations of what it is to be present while we're doing. And the first one, acceptance, is wonderful, because what acceptance really means is that I'm doing this willingly. You know, I'm at peace with it, and I'm at peace in myself, with myself, as I do it. And acceptance might look passive, but it's really quite active. It's really not so passive. Because what we're doing when we're in acceptance is we're bringing something new into the world. We're bringing consciousness into the world when we're in acceptance. Because the peace that acceptance is, that is consciousness. And so if we're actually doing something that we're not in acceptance with, that we can't enjoy, that we don't have any enthusiasm. Let's say it's raining, it's the middle of the night, you have a flat tire. And you're probably not going to enjoy getting out of your car and calling or fixing, dealing with a flat tire in the middle of the night in the rain. But if you can't enjoy it, you can at least accept it. That just means you come into peace with it. You say, okay, this is happening. I'm here. It's all okay. I can handle it. And what happens when you stop the complaining or stop the worrying or stop the fear, when you come into acceptance with it, and you bring that consciousness into the situation, then it's literally like you're bringing the whole power of the universe to conspire with you to have the situation work out better than it would have been if you didn't bring acceptance into it. And so that's what he's talking about in the three modalities, is acceptance, enjoyment, and enthusiasm. So if you can't enjoy something, you can at least accept it. We're going to get into those just a little bit more in just a moment. But what I want to talk about before we go there is this whole idea of letting that power of acceptance, the awareness that is presence, direct us instead of ego. And he says a couple of really interesting things about how to do that. The first one on page 290, he says we need to understand the difference between stress and intensity. Struggle or stress is a sign that the ego has returned. Intensity, on the other hand, can feel really, really good. And so the primary factor in creation is consciousness. And no matter how active we are or how much effort we make, our state of consciousness creates our world. And if there is no change on that inner level, no amount of action will make any difference. And so that's what he's meaning by acceptance. If you can't enjoy what you're doing, at least accept it. Because when you come into a state of acceptance, you change your inner awareness. You become conscious. And then the power of creation is working with you to manifest whatever is going to manifest. And if you're in a state of acceptance, then what manifests is very different than if you're in a state of stress or struggle. And so what that consciousness is, so he's saying the primary factor in creation is consciousness. And what that consciousness is, I'm going to read another quote of his from page 291. Consciousness is the intelligence, the organizing principle behind the arising of form. Consciousness has been preparing forms for millions of years so that it can express itself through them in the world. The human form was created for this purpose, and millions of other forms prepared the ground for it. So we are here on purpose. And for me, that's just a wonderful thing to remember, that we are each and every one of us here by design. We are here on purpose. And there's simply no way that we can be out of purpose. We can be slowing down, you know, the manifestation of consciousness into this world. The ego can certainly delay us. But once that act of grace that's happened, that has initiated awakening, it's irreversible. We are on that path and nothing can take us off of it. Only the ego and or the pain body can slow us down. But all we have to do to be back into alignment is to become present. It's just that simple. And so this idea of awakened doing, it requires acceptance, enjoyment, enthusiasm. And if we can't be in enjoyment or enthusiasm, we can always be in acceptance. That's a choice. That's a decision. And so I'm going to read another quote actually about awakened doing, because I think he actually says it very well here. Awakened doing is the outer aspect of the next stage in the evolution of consciousness on our planet. The closer we get to the end of our present evolutionary stage, the more dysfunctional the ego becomes. In the same way that a caterpillar becomes dysfunctional just before it transforms into a butterfly. But the new consciousness is arising even as the old dissolves. We are in the midst of a momentous event in the evolution of human consciousness. You know, sometimes it helps me just to remember that. When it gets a little overwhelming, you know, when things seem like they're going too fast, or especially when things seem like they're going too slow, when I'm in any sort of space of judgment about how anything goes, just remember that it's all going according to some divine pattern that's happening. That really helps me sometimes to really get that. And so the way to come into alignment, the way to have that awakened doing and aligning inner purpose with outer purpose is to come into acceptance. That's always the first step, to make peace with the present moment, to be as present in every moment as you can be. And so it's like I said, if you can't enjoy something, at least you can be in acceptance. And really all that means is that you're at peace while you're doing whatever it is that you're doing. And what he says that I love is, if you can neither enjoy or bring acceptance to what you're doing, stop. Otherwise, you are not taking responsibility for the only thing you can really take responsibility for, which also happens to be the one thing that really matters, your state of consciousness. And if you are not taking responsibility for your state of consciousness, you are not taking responsibility for your life. So I think that's a really important thing to remember. If you can neither enjoy or bring acceptance to what you're doing, stop. Because the most important thing that you can do in that moment is to come back into acceptance, meaning become aware, get present, be present with that judgment or that fear or that shame or that guilt or whatever it is that's keeping you from acceptance. Be present with it, and presence will shift it into acceptance. And so the next level, of course, after acceptance, is to actually enjoy what you're doing. And that comes from that sense of aliveness that joy is. It's like it replaces wanting as the motivating power behind your actions. It's like when we surrender, which is what really acceptance is surrendering into presence or surrendering into the moment. And there's a peace that comes with that, with being present. And with that peace, it's actually, there's a sense of aliveness that begins to happen. And that's what we call joy. And as we allow that in us as our state of consciousness, actually what happens is motivation begins to be replaced by inspiration. And motivation comes from wanting something. And wanting actually comes from the ego's delusion that you're actually separate from the power of that the universe is, and that somehow you're lacking in something. And so wantingness is a form of ego trying to reach for something that it thinks it's not or that's in the future. But with enjoyment, what happens is you actually link into that universal creative power. And so when you make the present moment, instead of, you know, focusing on the past or the future, when you make the present moment that the focus of your life, then your ability to enjoy what you're doing dramatically increases. And you're no longer like waiting to start living. You know, you're actually enjoying whatever activity that you're actually in the middle of. You're in it for it, not for what it's going to accomplish. And that brings that deep sense of aliveness to flow into everything that you're doing. It reconnects us with power. And so Toll gives on page 299 in this book, he gives a very, very simple spiritual practice that he says will bring empowerment and creative expansion into your life. And I'm just going to read it. He says, make a list of a number of everyday routine activities that you perform frequently. Include activities that you may consider uninteresting, boring, tedious, irritating, or stressful. But don't include anything that you actually hate or detest doing. That's a case either for acceptance or for stopping. The list may include traveling to and from work, buying groceries, doing laundry, or anything that you find tedious or stressful in your daily life. Then, whenever you are engaged in those activities, let them be a vehicle for alertness. Be absolutely present in what you do and sense the alert, alive stillness within you in the background of the activity. You will soon find that what you do in such a state of heightened awareness, instead of being stressful or tedious or irritating, is actually becoming enjoyable. To be more precise, what you are enjoying is not really the outward action, but the inner dimension of consciousness that's flowing into the action. This is finding the joy of being in what you are doing. If you feel your life lacks significance or is too stressful or tedious, it's only because you haven't brought that dimension into your life yet. Being conscious in what you do has not yet become your main focus. And so that's a really simple, beautiful thing that we can all do to actually bring that joy of being into what we're doing, because the joy of being is the joy of being conscious. And so that's what we're doing, is we're bringing that consciousness into our doing, and that's where our joy comes from. And the third modality he talks about is enthusiasm. And that's like my favorite thing. I love enthusiasm. I love being enthusiastic. It makes me feel really alive. And that's what enthusiasm is. It really just means that there's a deep enjoyment in what you do, plus the added element of a goal or a vision that you're working toward. And other people might look at that and think that you're under stress because they can see your intensity. But the intensity of enthusiasm has nothing to do with stress. It's like there's this force moving in you, this power moving in you. And it isn't, you're not working hard. You're not pushing. You're just allowing this energy to move through you. And enthusiasm has a very high energy frequency. And it resonates actually with that creative power of the universe. And, you know, Ralph Waldo Emerson said that nothing great has ever been achieved without enthusiasm. And I think I would have to agree. And so enthusiasm actually brings an enormous empowerment into what you do. But you can't fake it, you know, you can't pretend it. So you have to be in a state of acceptance. You have to actually be enjoying what you're doing. And enthusiasm comes when there's a goal, a vision that you're moving toward, but you're not focused on it. You're not focused on what you're moving toward. Enthusiasm is intense enjoyment of each step. It's right in the moment. And enthusiasm in the ego actually totally says cannot coexist, which I find really interesting. It's like enthusiasm has a very clear vision of where it's going, but at the same time, it's deeply at one with the present moment. It's present with the source, energy, the aliveness, the joy. It doesn't really want anything. It's very happy right where it is. And yet that vision is very clear. And of course, nobody can live in enthusiasm all the time. It's a wave. It's an energy form. And you go with it, and then it dissipates, and you just are back into enjoyment and being present. And then, you know, that cycle happens again. And so it's a wonderful, it's like it happens when inner purpose and outer purpose are aligned, that you're awakening and you have a vision and you're really present. And that enthusiasm is actually, it's the power that transfers the mental blueprint or the goal, the vision that you have into physical reality. It's like a creative use of the mind where there's no wanting. There's really not ego there. And so those are the three levels of, or three modalities of awakened doing. If you can't enjoy it, at least accept it. If you can accept it, that can lead to enjoyment. And if you really enjoy being present with every little thing, with every moment, then this magical thing happens where you suddenly often have a vision that, oh, wow, this is what I'm working toward in an outward form. It comes from inner purpose. And you know, there are some people who, what that outward vision is, what that enthusiasm is about, is just being present. It's not about creating anything in the outward world at all. And Tolle calls those people the frequency holders. And if those people, those frequency holders, didn't exist, I don't think any of us would be here. Those are the ones who have been the monks, the ones who have been behind the scene, holding a vibration, allowing consciousness into the world, and not wanting any acknowledgement or any, you know, credit for it. Those frequency holders allow consciousness into this world, and that's their job, that's their focus, is to generate that consciousness through those simple activities of daily living, just being. That is a very, very, very important function of certain humans in this world. Remember what he said, that greatness is an illusion of the ego. It's never about what's going to happen. Presence and awareness and acceptance is about what is happening. It's about being present in this moment. And so that's where I want to close. That's where I want to leave us with. And I'm going to do the same quote that I did before, because I think it's just amazing. And if we sit with that, we come into not only our own power, but our responsibility. A new species is arising on the planet. It is arising now. And we, you and me, we're it. And so the state of consciousness, our individual state of consciousness moment to moment, is the most important thing there is. And so let that be what we are focused on. I want to thank everyone for listening tonight. I've thoroughly enjoyed this. And I hope you join me again next week at 8 Eastern. And we will talk more. And this is Louisa Dyer. And you're listening to Conscious Co-Creating, Tools to Empower You at UR Radio in Western North Carolina. And I'm going to leave us with a theme song for the show, which is Here to Hear's Time for a Change. And please feel free to communicate through the Facebook page for Conscious Co-Creating Online Radio. I would love your comments and suggestions, and I will be answering those after the show as well. And until next time, it's time for a change. And here we are. Enjoy.
Where my heroes at? Where my soldiers at? Where my presidents and citizens and all that jazz? Where my artists at? Where my dreamers at? Where my activists and hippie chicks and I know that we can do it, we can change the world. I know that we can be it, we can be the change we like to see. I know that we can do it, we can change the world. I know that we can be it, we can be the change we like to see. It's time for change. It's time for change. Where my farmers at? My corporations at? Where my scientists and pharmacists, my dealers at? Where my father at? Where my human beings with beating hearts? It's rock, it's rock.